Hello everyone and welcome back to the show, and today we've got returning to the show Kiwani Lapsaritis. How are you going, Kiwani?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on again.
No, that's fine. It's an absolute pleasure to have you back on. Now, for the viewers and listeners that don't know about Kiwani, you could go back to the last episode and we go into a bit of that, but would you mind just giving the viewers and listeners just as much as a thumbnail sketch, a bit of a quick overview of yourself, and then we'll sort of take it off from last time because there was so much I wanted to go into. But is it possible just to, you know, just do a little bit of a, you know, a couple of minutes just on who you are?
Yes, well, I'm a social scientist that's a world authority on the Bigfoot Sasquatch phenomena. I've been doing this for 58 years. I have 4 degrees and a vast academic background. I used to teach anthropology for a short time and so on. I've done an ethnographic study amongst the Tucuna Indians in Upper Amazonia as well. So I've done a lot. I've investigated the Yeti and the Himalayas many years ago and so forth. And I'm the first to discover that the Sasquatch are a terrestrial extraterrestrial, that they claim telepathically tell me and many other people that they were brought here millions of years ago by their friends, the Star People. I've now documented 306 people that I've interviewed that had the mental telepathy and some of the UFO aspects to the phenomena. So my research over the years has been trying to understand and getting to the truth behind this phenomena, that I followed the evidence to where it led, and it led to a psychic Sasquatch with a UFO connection.
Now, there is the website. You've got sasquatchpeople.com, and you've also got psychicsasquatch.com as well. So there's two websites that people can reference while they're listening to the show or watching the show now if they want to go there for a little bit more. Also, there's links below the video and where this audio version is downloaded. Looking at the evidence and everything else, we've talked about it on the last show. Yourself and me, we don't need evidence. We've experienced what we've experienced, though the evidence did help in the beginning in our journeys with what's going on to learn about it and the psychic evidence that's going on. With yourself, if you had somebody that's open-minded but they haven't looked into Bigfoot before, what is some of the sort of, I guess, physical and correlating evidence to say, look, there's something to this? What would you point out to some people that are getting interested into this?
Well, I would start out by pointing out that there's a lot of evidence, even though there's no proof. I, over the years, have collected footprints and with the plaster of Paris cast, handprints. I have lots of hair that's been analyzed by a top forensic scientist that did work for the FBI and for the Secret Service. And I have vocalizations recorded. I have photographs, I have also film, but just a few people that are curious about it are interested in looking or discussing anything, but science isn't interested in the evidence. They want the empirical proof. But you have to start with one thing, which is the evidence, in order to get to it, and they're not doing it. So it leaves it up to researchers. Some of them are inexperienced as far as not being as woodwise in camping and looking at tracks and so forth. And certainly a majority of them, probably 95-98% of them, haven't had any experiences directly with the Sasquatch people. So I would point out that for almost 60 years now, that all these other researchers have been looking for Sasquatch and never finding anything in spite of all the evidence. So science concludes that's because there's nothing there, which of course is 100% wrong. They've been interacting with me for 36 years now. And like I said, this other 306 people that have had these same experiences, a few of them ongoing, like with my wife Kelly, like with Andrew Robson and Todd Michael, the other some of the contactees that have had these experiences. It's ongoing for them. So we managed to collect more and more information as the forest giants want to share, because if they share too much, then they may put themselves in danger. So they limit themselves in that regard. So after all the evidence, everything seems to be pointing to a Bigfoot UFO connection. And of course, I've talked to ETs and Sasquatch at the same time. So has my wife. So has several other contactees. And so that's where it's led. And we're just trying to get more information from them as they slowly share it. The forest giants don't easily give up their secret information. That's why they're still around. That's why they've survived. So we have to, there may be some mysteries that we're not supposed to know, because it would put other beings, other races of people in danger, especially from the white European attitude that was brought over from Europe to America, where, you know, it's okay to have slaves, it's okay to shoot or demean First Nations people. They viewed all these people as subhumans. Even the Chinese that came over to work the railways, they were racially prejudiced against. So my question is that what we're going to do now all over again with the Sasquatch people and the Yowie and so on? Or haven't we learned from any of this?
Yeah, definitely. So, and that's been a problem here in Australia with the white man coming here doing the same to the Aboriginals, who are very ancient and wise. And we've got the same situation going from the white European settlers throughout the world. And people wonder, like, I spoke to your wife yesterday about it, that I'd heard some stuff on Art Bell, but people actually hunting Bigfoot with a gun, not that they ever find him, but I'm just like, this is the mentality of people, and they're actually making shows on it.
Yeah, that's very disgusting to me. These people, of course, I know who they are. I'm not at all thrilled to watch them the few times that I have. I don't watch these shows, but I did watch a couple of them, and I found them disgusting. I found the people who claim to be experts very ignorant. They go in the fields with snowmobiles and four-wheelers, making unbelievable amounts of noise, and think that they're going to run into a Sasquatch. But most likely, they didn't run into anything because they made so much noise. This isn't how you try to find some kind of a being in the forest, or any animal actually as well in the forest. And of course, they're not animals, they're people. So they go about it all wrong. They're very hostile. They're very fearful of these beings. They are not amenable to try to communicate, the researchers are. So all this bothers me somewhat, because many of these other researchers wouldn't even, they'd still sleep good at night if they murdered a Sasquatch, because many of them want fame and fortune. And that's something that I never even entertained. All I did was want to get to the truth.
Yeah, no, it's very disturbing that, and that's the level of consciousness they're coming at this from. So they're going to attract like-minded, which is nothing. Nothing's going to happen from that place. And it is disturbing. I've talked to who I mentioned on the show last time, Steve Harrison, who's he's a Bigfoot bloke over here that gets a lot of stories, and he's had experiences like myself with them. And he's talked to me about how you could even set up one of the trail cameras, and a Bigfoot or Yeti could be standing right next to you, and it's not going to pick it up. They're interdimensional. They're very smart. They're steps ahead because of where their level of consciousness is. So a lot of people doing these shows, it's just a shame that they're doing what they're doing, and it's for entertainment rather than actually looking at decent evidence. And the UFO phenomenon has been looked at the same, though. There has been some good shows every now and then with good episodes like UFO Hunters. They sort of at least looked at the evidence, and it made people think in some way on some of the shows. But it seems what they're doing with the Bigfoot thing, with a lot of the UFO stuff, it's just, you know, even glaze over evidence and that's it, and then they sort of just disregard it. And that's a problem for people that are trying to come to some understanding or some truth of what's going on. But going back to the evidence for a second, with the either the footprints or the hairs, has there been sort of any things like missing links sort of things that just don't add up in terms of how the foot's shaped or what the makeup of the hair, how it's constructed, anything sort of like that that you've come across that is sort of anomalous in the scientific side of things when the hair's been tested or the feet of prints have been looked at?
No, I don't. I'm not sure I understand your question completely, but the, you know, the Sasquatch or, I don't understand. Please.
All right. Yeah. I'll rephrase it. Has there been anything found in any of the hair samples that don't add up, meaning that they're it's an unknown basically when the hair's been looked at scientifically and tested? Is it saying it's not human, it's not animal, it's unknown, anything sort of like that?
Yes. Dr. Kenneth Sigismund, who initially was at the Medical College of Wisconsin, he's now retired, he's an expert in the electron microscope, and he had all this, all of the hair samples were sent to him, and all the other evidence and stuff, and he put it under the electron microscope and had them analyze, and he analyzed it for me. So, and then he took pictures of it. So I have all of those, and it shows that it has some human characteristics to it, but it also has animal characteristics. So it has both.
All right.
And incidentally, it's hair and not fur
that
they have. Okay. I found some material in the Mount Adams Wilderness in southern Washington here back in 1999, and I sent it to Dr. Sigismund for analysis. And when he put it under the electron microscope, he thought it was hair, and it melted. It absolutely melted by the what little heat was there from the little light bulb. So he brought it to a expert on for textile, mm-hmm. for cloth. And the man has been doing this. This other scientist was doing it for 29 years. And he knows this very well because he's also done work for the FBI and everything. So he analyzed it and looked at it over and over again. Keep in mind, this, when Dr. Sigismund brought this to this other man, this other scientist, he didn't tell him where he got it or anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't say, no, this is from Sasquatch, just from UFO, didn't say nothing.
It's very important.
And the answer, the results of that was that other scientists said, I don't know what it is. I've never seen it before, but it's not from this planet.
All right. And see, this is where we
get... This is the same area where the Sasquatch are seen all the time.
Yeah. Now, that's very important. And it's sort of like similar stuff we get with implants when Dr. Roger Lee was with us, where they've looked at the isotopic ratio of how the implant's constructed, and it showed that it's very similar to a meteorite, that it couldn't be done here on Earth. So this is where there's things adding up, little red herrings like that, saying, hey, there's something here. And has anybody else in mainstream, like we talked about the scientists at the start, they don't want to look at it, but has there been any other reputable scientists look at this evidence and go, there's something here in terms of what you've just said? Or is it just hasn't even been, it's been disregarded or not even thought about?
Well, it's hard to get people to look at this stuff, other scientists to look at it. I mean, you can go around and pay them, I suppose, at different laboratories and stuff. But once I have, if they, you know, make a statement and it's a written statement or something, well, what do we do with the evidence afterwards?
Okay.
I mean, I would just be doing the same thing, saying the same thing. Well, I found this, and the scientist said that He can't find any matchups because he says it's so strange and it's really not from this planet. So, again, where do you go with that?
Yeah.
Other than tell people, and as I'm telling you, but nobody seems to want to really look at the evidence. So,
what about with the footprints? Like, there's been plaster casts done and that. When compared to a human foot, what's some of the similarities and differences that you will find in a foot cast print of a Bigfoot footprint?
Well, there's very little, really, that resembles a human print. Oh. First of all, they have flat feet. Their foot is much wider, way wider than ours. But again, they're supporting a body several hundred pounds. Some of them could weigh 1,000 pounds or 1,200 pounds. It depends how tall. I know that one woman in Missouri found a 28-inch footprint, and it was 11 inches across the toes by a little pond in back of her place. And she had just moved in, and she was seeing the Sasquatch back there. And one of them she saw next to a tree standing there. She was later told it was the chief of the tribe. But as far as she could measure and understand him standing next to this tree, he was 16 feet tall.
That's a big... Yeah.
So the average researcher would say that's crazy. It doesn't exist. You know, they're only around 8 feet, maybe 10. But there's exceptions. And these other people that I've talked to over and over and over again, they were very consistent in what they said. And it was similar to some of the material that I've experienced. So, but making such a statement at 16 feet, I have no problem that this woman was telling the truth.
I've seen stuff big like that. They weren't Bigfoot, but they were big. So this is where I'm open to anything. After what I've seen and experienced, you just don't know what you don't know. You know, if you haven't experienced it, you can't say that they're, you know, it's their reality and it's what they've seen. So I'm very open-minded when it comes to what you've just said, very open-minded about it.
I've had many researchers say, oh, that's not true. Bigfoot doesn't do that. And I say to them, how do you know? How many experiences have you had, Mr. Researcher? And it's zero, but they're trying to tell me that my research is invalid. It's very strange how they're easily threatened by the truth.
Exactly. And obviously they've come into it with some preconceived notion where, like you said, you've had over 300 experiences that you've spoken to, and you've been cataloguing this for years and had experiences yourself. So you seem more open-minded than any of them, and you've experienced, if you still haven't experienced, you're still open-minded, so that says a lot about them rather than, you know, how you're conducting your research, which I think is in a good way. You're somebody who's experiencing this, but if you haven't experienced it, you're still open-minded, which is a good way to look at it, because as you said, you've let the evidence lead you to where it's come to, and like you said, it comes to the psychic Sasquatch situation. One thing we'll do, I just want to finish off with the evidence side of things and then we'll continue on, but is there any sort of photos or video that you've come across, we don't need links or anything, but that just off the top of your head that you think this is worth people looking at and that you know it's real, is there any sort of thing that comes to mind of great video or photographic evidence or even stories?
Yes, a woman from the lower Midwest here, a couple of months ago, shared a photograph with me. She was seeing the Sasquatch from her house pass through her yard and wanted to get a photograph. So one night, she could hear a thumping and moving around outside, and she quickly grabbed her camera and ran out. And so here, she was standing behind a fence, and she heard the thumping of the footfalls on the other side of the fence walking along, but there was nothing there to look at. So she was totally puzzled and at the last minute brought up her camera and took the photograph. Now, she sent it to me and you can see an interdimensional Sasquatch in it. And if you want me to run and find that photo, I would be happy to. And you can cut some of this out, right, and edit?
Yeah, that's fine.
Do you want me to
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, yep, that's fine. Thank you. All righty, so we'll continue on. Here we go. Oh, yep. If you just pull it back just a little bit, that's basically what I've seen walk past me a few times in Queensland. So that, to me, is very interesting, that photo. Very interesting, that. Now, Kiwani's partner, Kelly, she's going to send through the hard copy of this, and I'll add this onto the show when I edit it so everyone can see a little bit better quality. It's just due to the Skype playing up every now and then. It's a little bit blurry, but that is basically what I've seen when I've had my Bigfoot experience. So that, to me, when you've said interdimensional Sasquatch, that's what I've seen.
Yes, and they're in Australia too. The Yowies are the same. I don't know if they're actually Sasquatch that were, you know, I know they were brought there by the ETs, but whether they're a different race or they're the same, you know what I mean? So
there is reports, like, you know, there's different variations of the Bigfoot around the world. Like, there's white ones, and there's short hairy people and tall hairy people, and then there's the ancient ones like you've spoken about. So there's different variations, just so that the viewers and listeners know. Funny enough, but I don't know if you know much about my partner, but she's an experiencer and psychic as well. And since we last spoke to you, we've had two Bigfoot experiences here in Melbourne at night, with them walking on the front doorstep. Now, her brother's about 6'4". He's a big bloke. And anybody that's walked on that step does not make the sort of noise that this happens. And automatically there's a thought transfer component of, you know, the psychic component with it. So it's been interesting that I hadn't had an experience a few months ago up in the top end of Australia. And here I am down here and I've spoken to you. And again, within 1 week, both of us have had the experience twice. So there's definitely the psychic component. Would you mind going into the psychic component with people when they've had experiences like yourself and others and myself when having a Bigfoot encounter? How does this would you mind going into this is basically the way they communicate?
Yes, well, they do have their own language, which I've heard them speak before in a very strange language. However, when they can also mentally telepath to people, and which they've how they've been communicating with people, and so they would start simply cutting in and start talking to me, and sometimes I see them, and most of the time I don't. The same with Kelly and others, that they're either from the woods or speaking from another dimension, which they can do very, very easily. Many times people say, well, they've seen them or it was standing there. And I say, if you start thinking at them, they'll start talking to you. But a lot of these people have not done that. And so they're wondering, and they contact me and they're wondering about what to do, and I said, you should have started thinking at them and say, it's so nice to see you. My name is Susan or George or whatever, and what is your name? I mean, there are people you want to ask the same questions of them, and if you need help in something, you could ask, or you could ask them what they need. They generally have everything, but anyway, this is a way to start discussing. If you see them at a distance, wave to them and think at them. Say, you know, if they're walking away, say, would you come and visit me at the ranch or something? Say that a few times towards them. So communication is the key to everything. So you could say, oh, yeah, but I found 20 tracks. Well, the tracks don't talk. Mm. So, you know, or handprints or hair, whatever you find. That's good, but it doesn't talk and communicate exactly who these beings are and so forth and what they're capable of and what's their purpose.
Mm-hmm. No, very much so. I'm just still thinking about the photo because it's exactly what I've seen. It's how I've also seen the ETs appear and the crafts appear when they've landed on the house or outside when they've landed, when they had that apparition, I guess, look, the interdimensional look like that photo. But it is very important to have that dialogue, which I actually started to do myself when I was having the experiences living on this property some time ago. I was actually told by a person who's had experiences with the hairy people, he calls them here in Australia, to do this, and it does get some dialogue. And it, like you said, they're just beings like you and I, where why not ask questions? Why not? There's a reason why these experiences are happening, which is important for people to think about. One thing I want to go into now is you're doing a talk in a couple of months, and it goes into the shaman spiritual side of what's going on. Would you mind going into that a little bit for the viewers and the listeners if you want to talk about that?
The spirituality part.
Yeah, and the shamanism side of what's happening at the moment.
Yes, well, they have their own shamans, of course, and that can even shapeshift to another being, in some kind of another being, even into an animal. They can do that. They're very spirituality, meaning respect for all living things. This is not some religion or anything, you know. I find some religions more spiritual than others, kind of thing myself, even though I don't belong to any particular religion. I do believe in God and pray daily. I think it's extremely important to have that recognition in one's life. But they're extremely compassionate. And this is important to know. I mean, there was a grandmother, a mother, and a child walking down a trail real slow. This was about 35 years ago here in Washington State. And when they looked up, they saw Sasquatch walking out of the forest ahead of them. And it was walking at an angle towards them. Well, instead of standing there and thinking at them and who are you, or saying something to the Sasquatch, they just assumed that it's going to hurt them and ran. But in their hurriedness, the trail narrowed, and there was a slide, like a side of a, not really a cliff per se, but where it was steep and one could roll down the hill, and they slid down into a shelf. This is the grandmother, mother, and child. And then they realized they were stuck. They couldn't even get out, but they thought they were being attacked. I mean, why? Just something walks towards them that they label it an attack when it's not. Anyhow, they were trying to figure out what to do, and if this, you know, monster, hairy monster, was going to hurt them, when all of a sudden they looked up and it had knelt down and reached over with an arm and pulled each one of them up out of this little shelf because they couldn't get out, and then turned and walked into the forest. They don't hurt people. They're not out there to hurt people. They're people, so surely there's some, you know, psychopathology in some that have been wounded or shot at or something, and they don't like us. And there's some of those people are there. So, you know, I mean, if they're being shot at or wounded, after a while, I think they're going to start getting a little annoyed with us, that we don't have any respect for them. Because they respect all living things, but when we are constantly at them, there's a few that may not be able to handle it, you know, in that sense of us invading their space. So they drive these people off.
Very much so. And we'll do the same if there was something else coming into our territory. So it's understandable why they would do so if they drove some people off, in terms of disrespecting the land, not asking for permission in even a spiritual sense to be in the area that they are, things like that, which I, with Skywatching it, and when I do contact work, which I ask people to do, you've got to do that, in at least in your mind, and if not, I'll clear the space before for them, because it's out of respect for the spirits and the land itself when you're doing stuff like that, which is important. Traveling the world like you have, you've been around the world, you've spoken to a lot of people that have experienced what you've experienced very similarly. Have you found many commonalities, whether it's in Australia or the Asian area above Australia, other parts of America, with the Sasquatch like similarities of the Sasquatches in different areas? Are some of them the exact same types of Sasquatch, or there's different types that are found in different areas? What have you found?
Well, different areas describe the same being, but label it different, something different. For example, I'd been to the Philippines twice, and the first time I was there, I saw this mountain, which actually ended up being a dormant volcano. And I told my guide, I'd like to go and climb that mountain. And he became very terrified. And he said, no, no one goes there. And I said, well, why not? And he says, well, big hairy monster will take you, and nobody comes back from that area. So there's a few that have probably been shot at that will not allow people to come into its realm. So there's a few that way that are dangerous, but it's so rare that the chances of that ever happening are probably 100 times greater just living in a city in America than ever meeting any one of those that were irritated enough that they might hurt one of us. There was a man out, he was prospecting in Oregon for gold and gemstones and stuff along a river, and he kept hearing twig snapping and like somebody was following him, but he couldn't distinguish. And he stopped along the way to rest. He had a backpack, and a Sasquatch stepped out of the woods and walked up to him. But before it did, he said, I won't harm you in any way. So when he talked to the Sasquatch, the Sasquatch sat on a log there about 20 feet from him. And they were telepathing back and forth. And he says, I noticed that you were helping this deer. Now, the guy found a deer with an arrow in it, but it wasn't dead. It was just kind of weak. So he took the arrow out and he put a rope around the neck of the deer, and he started feeding it some food and stuff to get its strength back, and was taking care of the deer. And when the Sasquatch came, he says, you're not like the other people. He says, what do you mean? He says, well, they shoot a deer and leave it. They just cut off the head for the antlers, things like that, you know. And he says, but you're trying to heal this animal. And he says, I find that most admirable, because all they see is us killing and being disrespectful and being wasteful. You know, there's a lot of carnage around it seems like our technology has superseded our spiritual development.
Definitely.
So that here we have guns, we have this, we have that, and we don't know how to use them in a responsible manner. And of course, we're the worst stewards that any planet could ever have, as far as keeping stability and balance on the planet. We've ruined everything, and the planet's now dying. This is really it. This is not some joke or saying this is it means we've got another 10 or 20 years. It's now. And I don't know what's going to happen, because we can't remedy it. Fukushima, of course, is the big thing. And there's so many animals and fish and everything, birds dying here on the West Coast, just everywhere from Alaska all the way down into Mexico, that they say it must be some kind of toxic algae. It doesn't have anything to do with algae. It has to do with radiation, that much radiation. And if you're going to eat, these animals are dying, but they've been eating the fish in the oceans and stuff. So they're dying from that. And wait a minute, we still have a fishing industry for the Pacific cod and all that. Now, wait a minute. We don't want to ruin the economy, do you? Do we, by telling people that they're eating poison and they're going to die, maybe? But that's what they do. They haven't come clean about it. So it's very difficult, very difficult. You have to get your own information and not trust the media or what's passed on by the government. You have to figure these things out for oneself. So we're in trouble.
Yeah, we are. And it's time for people to start thinking for themselves and taking some self-responsibility within this because obviously those behind the powers that are allowing this to happen and have contributed and allowed this to happen and actually sometimes made this happen aren't going to stop doing what they're doing, and they've got their reasons for doing what they're doing, whether people want to call it the Illuminati or the Archons, whatever. It's all interconnected, all this stuff going on in the background. But the fact is, this is going on, and it's time for us now individually and as a collective in time to step up with this. Getting the Fukushima, there's been so much. I've even read here in Australia about a sailor that sailed from, he usually sails from Australia to Japan, and the trip took 2.5 weeks, where normally it would take about a week, and he didn't have one bird land on his boat, which normally he has birds landing on his boat, and the trip took so long because of the amount of dead fish in the ocean that he had to try and get his boat through. So people out there, be very, you know, go and do some research. And this was in a, it was in an Australian newspaper, which I'm surprised it was even reported how bad this is. It was even reported in a mainstream Australian newspaper on the East Coast somewhere. I forget where it was, but this is where we really need to lift our game. In saying that, what would you like to tell the people at the moment in terms of what your experiences are with the Bigfoot, the information they've relayed to you, and what you would like to get off your chest in terms of what you would like people to think about and to be aware of?
Well, in terms of Sasquatch prophecy, they've said, and it's in greater detail in my second book, The Sasquatch People and their Interdimensional Connection, but that there's going to be a super quakes and super tsunamis and land shifting. So if you're living on that land, and it doesn't mean you'd be shook or whatever, it means you better get some water wings, that some of these areas that will go under, and it'll happen so fast that you won't be able to do anything. So there's that. They've talked about plagues coming and famine. And that water shortages. So there's places here where water is used, like in California, for industry, that the water table is low, and so low that some of these agriculture industries are folding. The companies can't handle it because there's no more irrigation for their crops. So we're going to have problems with people starving to death. And Nostradamus says when all this happens, that people will turn to cannibalism. That's how desperate they'll be. They also said that eventually there will be a pole flip. And so these seem to be coming up sooner rather than later. Again, I'm doing the this is it kind of thing. And I don't want to sound like Dr. Doom, because they said do not buy into the fear. Just hold on to unconditional love for everybody and everything. And, you know, no matter how it sounds, this is what they said. I can only pass it on. I'm not judging their information other than I take it very seriously, because they don't waste breath. They don't waste words to say things to joke around. When they say it, they're doing it to help us because they mean it. And they want me to say these things to reach as many people that's about to wake up to that particular awareness. And it's very important to them that this happen. Back about 3 years ago, I was going through a bookstore in Barnes & Noble, where one of my books is sold. And I picked up a UFO magazine that I hadn't seen in probably a year or more and started perusing it. And when I did, I noticed a small article, very small, about in northern Italy in July of 1968, a man was in the foothills of the Alps driving along and he saw a spaceship land. So he stopped his car on the road and got out of the car to observe it. A robot stepped out and behind it was a ET. And the ET noticed this man watching him. So he started telepathing to the man And in the beginning, of course, the man didn't know what was happening until he realized that this man could read his thoughts. So he asked, the ET said that he had been visiting this part of the galaxy and so forth, and was heading back to where he was from. And the man asked him a question about something, and the ET replied, "I wouldn't be so concerned about something like that. I would be more concerned about what's going to happen to your planet in the near future when you have a pole flip, because 90% of the population of the planet at that time will be gone." So though those percentages were not given by me to the Sasquatch, I read this, but it matched up to what they were saying and concerning a pole flip. So a lot of this is new to me. I mean, I've heard about pole flips for about 40 years or more, but again, they're saying the time is now, the time is soon, and they're not giving specific times because they want people to use their own free will. They said, "We're not going to tell you what to do. We don't run people's lives, but we've care enough to tell you, and those people who are intelligent enough that get it will act on that. Those that don't, they whatever happens, happens."
That's the thing. It's all about free will and take, again, coming back to self-responsibility. Yep. In terms of the people that you've spoken to now, over 300 that have had experiences like yourself with Bigfoot, how many out of those would you say have had continuing, some form of continuing contact with the Bigfoot?
Well, I will say about 15, 12 or 15 are, and some of them are not having contact anymore, but they feel them around, and when they're in the forest, hear them around them, pacing them. They've done this to me before. They told me to go to this place, so I went there, and it was a long hike. And while I was hiking, I could hear thump, thump, thump of a large man paralleling me. And when I stopped, it would stop. When I went, it would went. And I asked, "Is that you?" And I knew it was them. And they said, "Yes, we're protecting you. We're watching over you."
And they're bloody loud. They're loud.
Yeah.
We had like groups of kangaroos on the property I was on that would jump through. And they would pound along, especially the big kangaroos. But if you came across a Bigfoot walking near, it was louder than them. Like louder than a group of kangaroos in terms of you could feel the energy of it. You couldn't feel it through the ground, but it was loud. It was thump. And you could feel the energy of it. So I totally agree. Do you think with a lot of these people that have had experiences with Bigfoot, as you said, they've got something where they're still going out, they're having some sort of thing going on, that they're probably having experiences but on a subconscious level or on a conscious level that they're not aware of in the body computer, like when they're going out to these spots?
Well, some of the reason for that is that they're a little cumbersome when it comes to telepathy. So they feel this energy around them and know that they're being watched, but there's no direct communication. However, they're in direct communication with either me or Kelly or other contactees that are having these experiences, and often will relay information helping other witnesses like that. So we all get, in the end, pretty much get the same information because we share, and I keep tabs of everyone that's had these experiences so I can be there to help them and keep sharing.
Do you network much with other researchers these days? Is there other people that you network with in terms of who are Bigfoot researchers or UFO researchers, sort of just to correlate stuff, or is it mainly just doing this by yourself and Kelly doing her thing as well?
Well, I mean, we have, like I said, our own little inner group that we help each other, but we're both flooded, especially me, really flooded with emails, phone calls. It's hard to get back to some of these people. There's just too many, and I want to get back to everyone. I don't try to judge and say, well, I'll just do this person or something. Sometimes there's a couple of weeks I don't get back because I have to have my own life too, and I stay on the phone. If somebody needs me for an hour, hour and a half, just after that, it's kind of tiring, and I don't want to keep going all night doing this, you know. But I get back to people, and some of them are telling me what they're experiencing or what communication happened. But most of the time, they've got some issue that they need for me to iron out for them and to point things out. And a lot of it's based on either fear or they're just don't understand the dynamics of the Sasquatch people as I do. And so I can quickly straighten it out and say, look, this is a better way to do it and you'll have more success and so on and so forth. So there's a few that are ongoing, and there's many that are being watched, but for whatever reason, they're not getting the direct communication. I know when I was sick, and also if I went through some kind of an emotional crisis, it shuts down some of that, the corridor for communication. And I was doing it at my end, and I wasn't for a while getting as much communication as sometimes just a short phrase or a couple of words, because it was me that had blocked it from this end. So some people do that all the time and they could feel them, but they're wondering why they're not talking. Sometimes it takes us to say something to them to open up the channels. And other times we unwittingly have blocked that channel. So we're not getting the communication. But there's more and more people, like, for example, a young man in Norway had some experiences, but he said they had kind of a wolf-like face. And I said, well, that's the dog face people. They also, the Sasquatch called them the guardians. So he wanted to go to visit where they were at to try to communicate. So I told them where they were at in Norway, and he went, and he was going to get back to me. And I've tried to communicate with him. I've never heard from him since. So I don't know what happened. But they're in Norway and Sweden on the border there in a very, very, very wild, isolated area. They're in the Pyrenees Mountains as well, in southern France and northern Spain. There's a lot of them there. They're also... the most of them are in Romania, very wild area that has more wilderness than any other country in Western Europe. So there's a lot of them there, and occasionally there's some that will wander into other areas or visit other areas. I remember reading back in 1980, I was reading a book, and it told in 1661 in the country of Lithuania, which is just north of Poland, had captured, these woodcutters captured a strange being about 5 feet tall and tied it up and gave it to the king of Poland as a gift to appease the king. So back then, the Lithuania became a bigger kingdom by taking over Poland. Maybe 50 or 100 years go by or so, then there's a change over of kings and so forth, and then the Poles would overtake some of the Lithuanians, and their kingdom got better, bigger, and then Lithuania smaller. Well, I remember this because I'm Lithuanian. So that this happened, and it happened in 1661. And when I was reading about it back then, I was living on a street when the street number was 1661. So anyway, all this I remember very clearly, though it was 36 years ago or 35 years ago. So since the Europe now is overdeveloped, there's not enough area. There's too many hunters, too many farmers, too many people hiking. So they go into more isolated areas where they weren't found. They're not found in these areas anymore, other than an occasional one could wander through. But the most of them are in the areas that I had designated that where they told me they were living in Europe. So there's people calling me from these countries. Somebody called me from Austria. I've gotten calls from Spain as well, and of course emails and letters and so forth. So people want to know this.
They reported a fair bit just above Australia too, in sort of like the Pacific Islands and that type of thing, and Australia itself. Like I know a few people that have reported here. So you would have had reports or investigated some of that, wouldn't you?
When?
Like in your research over the time you've been researching, hearing about stuff in Australia and the Pacific Island type area above Australia?
Yes, there's been sightings of Sasquatch types even in New Guinea, mm-hmm. and the Solomon Islands has supposedly at least two races, if not three races, of Sasquatch type beings there. So this is in the Solomon Islands, Guadalcanal area, that whole region, even into the New Hebrides, where I spent time there back in 1969. I spent a week in the New Hebrides. And so there's more out there that we don't even understand. We'll probably destroy the planet before we even understand what's on our planet. The people say, well, we just about found everything that's on the planet. There's nothing else to discover. That's baloney. Mm-hmm. Those are naive people that are not educated, or if they're educated, they need to get more educated, because there's at least 5,000 new species found every year on this planet. Most of them are insects, and some of them are fish. Some of them are amphibians and so on. But they're still finding them, and there are occasional large mammals being found. I mean, we have 2,230,000 square miles of Amazonian rainforest, even though it's being decimated by these ranchers that are getting quick. It's a quick rich thing of clear cutting and putting soy and other crops there for profit. But they're destroying a gem, which is this Amazonian ecosystem that's very, very delicate. And so there's many animals. There's been some kind of big cats, like saber-tooth types, that have been found in the Peruvian jungle. Well, what's that about? Well, we may never know, because they're destroying the rainforest. So they have their own Sasquatch types in the Amazon, and there's more than one. There's three or four. We don't really quite know. Mm. But I've heard all kinds. I've read through reliable sources, but you don't want to go there. You don't want to stick your nose in there, and you don't want to go in with guns trying to shoot up the place. So it's difficult to discover, and maybe some of this is better just left alone, because it seems like every time Western man sticks his nose someplace, he's destroying whatever he discovers. It's better that we just leave it be.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the emotional and spiritual maturity, apparently, to work with these beings, or to go with the flow of universal nature. We seem to think we know more than nature itself, and that kind of hubris is... Well, the planet's dying. We've destroyed just about everything, and we're still, I think it was that President Obama is starting to approve that the last wilderness area where they're the biggest run of salmon in Alaska that's left, and they want to approve drilling in that area.
God.
Big mistake, very big mistake. So we need the planet to sustain ourselves. And we're not sustaining it, we're destroying it, and then we're going to eat our own waste and our own, I mean, the radiation part of our own waste.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear there's about 100 or 200 square miles of plastic floating off the southern part of California that's ending up in the Galapagos Islands on their beaches there. I was there in 1970 in the Galapagos. I stayed for a month. It was beautiful, pristine still. Now it's nothing but a garbage heap. Who the hell are we to think that we were so arrogant we can just do what we want and dump stuff in the oceans? I mean, it's like Chief Seattle said, we will wake up someday and suffocate in our own waste. And that's precisely what we're doing, because at the other end of the spectrum is health issues and cancer, and many of these neurological diseases that come from this kind of waste is rampant right now worldwide. So we are really dying in our own waste. There you go. It's it. This is it. And the Sasquatch want to help us, and we want to kill them? Hey, this mental health issues now that are coming up with people that look sane because they have PhDs and stuff, but they don't know what they're doing. And especially because the government is directing these organizations or misdirecting them, and we're not really, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, isn't doing its job, just like the FDA and many others aren't. So we're in big trouble. The bottom line is, no matter what it is, the trouble is getting bigger by the day. Each day it gets bigger and bigger, and the Sasquatch people are, and the ETs are totally disgusted with us. And they say, you're like little children, that we want to direct you, but you won't even listen to your any of the wisdom coming from the parent like Sasquatch, because we don't want to get near them. We want to shoot them first. So I know I said a lot here, but this is it in a nutshell where we're at. You asked, there
yeah,
it is.
I think it's well said, and I think I don't regret you saying it. I think people need to hear it. I've said what you've said very similarly, a bit different, but basically the same thing, and a lot of experiences like yourself and myself are saying the same thing. So I totally agree with what you said. People need to hear what you just said, whether they like it or not, and it's time that we grow up. You know, we're just like little teenagers disrespecting everything, our own planet, each other, and totally screwing up the environment. It's time that we step up, you know, and we grow up as a collective as well as individually. But in saying that, I think people need to first work on themselves individually, and then as a collective we can do that afterwards. But people need to start taking some self-responsibility. But we'll wrap it up there. Is there anything you'd like to say before we wrap up the show?
Well, one of the things I asked in 1985 a Sasquatch, if he was the missing link. And I said it that way. I didn't want to throw in a bunch of $50 words at him, but I just kind of said it that way just to see what his response was. And he chuckled, and he said, no, he said, we are not. He said, it's you people are the missing link. You don't know where you've come from or where you're going. So that tells us a lot right there. We don't know where we're going. In a sense, I can tell you where we're going. We're going under. And it's not down under, it's in the ground beneath us, because we're killing each other, killing our neighbors and everything by supporting people who want to destroy the environment. And it seems to be a lot of politicians think it's okay to keep exploiting. And so they approve of those kinds of issues with these big companies. And maybe there's a payoff for them. But in the end, the payoff will come back and hit them in the face. And if that's what it's doing, we need to start thinking in terms of respect, unconditional love, and compassion, and get away from the hostilities and fear and destruction and those kinds of thinking. Because whatever you think you're going to create, that's the next few days or a few weeks or a few months, is what's going to happen as you keep doing that. And if you have a group of people thinking negativity, 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 then that's what you're going to create. And we got too much of it. So we need to see the forest for the trees and stop jumping on these bandwagons of people who have nothing to say but negative things, even though they might have a nice smile. So we need to be proactive in this, and plus know that the government or some agency isn't going to save us. We need to save ourselves and support positive issues in the government and in different agencies if we want to survive. And I'm not sure that we can. I'm just not sure. But people need to go deep in their heart and introspect, know that the most important thing in the world is a person's, them and their family, in God, however you want to believe that. But I think that's the most important thing, to stay close to your heart and to God and to your family during these times of crisis. And it's getting out of hand, and World War III is just on the threshold. So I hate to say that, but I see it, so I have to say it. And they talk about it. So whatever you need to do, do it, but do it without fear. That's very important. And to forgive people who are hurting you or have hurt you. It's important, because you'll change your spiritual vibrations. And the higher your vibrations, the greater chance of survival one will have. So I want to share that message with the public and the world at large.
No, thank you very much. It's well needed, and I think everyone will receive it well. So thank you very much for what you've just said, what you've shared with us over the last hour, and thank you for your time.
Yes, thanks for having me, Peter. And if people want to know more about me, they can go to www.thesasquatchpeople.com, and my second website is www.psychicsasquatch.com. And to get more information, and people want to email me at sasquatchpeople@hotmail.com, feel free to do so. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Fantastic. I'm sure people will contact you. And again, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks again. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.